This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
In today's gospel, Matthew is a lot less chatty than that about the birth of Jesus, a lot more succinct than maybe the story we know from Luke that we usually read on Christmas Eve. About the birth of Jesus, he is straightforward about it. Mary is pregnant. Joseph is told by the angel to stay with her. "Hey, guys, name the baby Jesus. The prophets were right. The baby's born. His name's Jesus." There's no refugees running from the empire. There's no inns all full. No room here. There's no manger. There's no animals. There's no shepherds. But I did notice something about this. As your resident female pastor here, I can't miss out on the opportunity to notice that Joseph doesn't have a voice in this story. Now hold on, don't roll your eyes yet. I'm going to speak very highly of Joseph here, so it's okay. This year, as we read Joseph's story, it's not with words that Joseph speaks, but in his actions, in his obedience, and in his trust that he leads faithfully. And yeah, I recognize that he probably does use words and use his voice in these conversations that he's having. We just don't have it recorded here in Matthew. What Matthew chose to write for us and to elevate are just God's words. God's words through the mouth of the angel are elevated. And that's all. And Joseph, here in this story of this birth, has an opportunity to shame Mary. This is what Matthew talks about. To disgrace her, to turn her away, to leave her in the dust and disassociate with her so that she is left to her own scandals. Figure it out, Mary. But he gets to choose. And he chooses to use his powers for good. Societal and cultural power, partly coming from just being a man in this society, but relational power in his association with Mary as well. He's using these for good. Because no one was going to believe Mary about this situation, that the Holy Spirit came to her and said, "Hey, you're going to have a baby," and now she's pregnant. No one was going to believe this. We got to be very clear about that. Culturally, societally, even rationally, Mary was telling some wild tales about how this was going to happen. This pregnancy, Messiah birth. And it was on Joseph, a responsibility now that is on Joseph, to confirm or deny this faith in this baby and in this God. He could choose to walk away unscathed by this drama that she's causing, but instead he chooses to walk alongside, to hold the hand of the one who needs this support to pursue the will of God. Joseph is a faithful leader, a partner making space and clearing the way for God's call to be heard and to be honored. Joseph is a bold advocate for Mary's story, for Mary's body, for Mary's life, and for Mary's call. And just as the angels call Joseph boldly into this advocacy, the angels call us to step forward boldly. The Holy Spirit, who facilitated this pregnancy for Mary, calls us into bold steps forward. With one note that they like to say when the angels come, they say, "Do not be afraid." But these bold calls from angels may not be with our voices, but with our actions and our obedience and our trust. These bold calls may not make us the main character, but the one who walks alongside, the supporter and the advocate. These calls may not be world-changing like Mary and Joseph and a baby, but those nudges, those truths, those places where we feel a little stir within us that are worth listening to and being faithful to and trusting, because the Holy Spirit is working in you. As I kind of introduced in talking with the kids, a lot of our communication is nonverbal. In the studies that I read, about 93% of our communication is nonverbal. That means words don't have a lot of communication that they're doing for us and with us in our daily lives. But it's our body language, our facial expressions, our posture, our tone that we're using. So when we read words in the Bible, written and spoken, that's actually only like 7% of the communication that's coming out of the Bible. We don't get to see Joseph in this story, his facial expressions, when the angel says, "Hey, stick with Mary, stay with her, support her, you're going to have a baby, this is all true." We don't get Joseph, his reaction. We can imagine what it might be. We can be curious about those kind of things. And then, I know, technically he was asleep, so it was different anyway. Okay, we don't get his tone when Joseph comes to Mary and says, "Okay, Mary, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to walk alongside you. I'm going to support you and be your advocate and make some space for this call to happen." I like to believe that this was in good faith, that this was, he was excited and he was ready, and he said, "Yeah, let's tackle this together, Mary." But he could have been bitter and sarcastic and reluctant and been like, "Fine, let's get this over with. Is it done yet? Whatever." We don't know. We assume so much about the communication from the scriptures that we read in the Bible that we have. But the Bible communicates more to us also that we can faithfully interpret some of those things. And the birth of Christ is one of those that communicates something, but Jesus can't talk. So it's not in Jesus' words at this birth that we get anything communicated to us. He can cry and scream and eat and poop like a baby, but he can't tell us what's happening, what's going on, what to expect or believe of him. What we do interpret from Jesus' birth is just his name. Jesus is named Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. And all of a sudden, the blessings that we hope God brings in words to us to be rich and famous and nothing bad ever happened to us, it's actually that our life is happening all over the place, messy and emotional, but the joy is that God is with us. God is with you. The love that God is with you. The peace and the hope is that God is with you. Tonight is also the longest night of the year. Some of us may be feeling that coming on. In a time of joy and rejoicing and love, we may feel silence and coldness and loneliness that comes. And the hope only comes tomorrow tomorrow's going to get brighter. Every day is going to be a little bit more light, a little bit more hopeful, brighter and lighter. But tonight we sit in a longest night. And so this love of a baby born at Christmas is for you also. God in love is with you. I'm going to end with a blessing. So receive this in whatever way it might come. May you be blessed in the silence and the cold and the dark. May you be blessed in the absence of words and loved through the hugs and the food and the laughs and the tears. In the love that you receive without a voice, receive with a warm, welcoming heart. Merry Christmas. Merry whatever, merry bright days ahead. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.